Our guests today on Meet the Press are two Democratic governors, one from the South, Governor George Wallace of Alabama, and one from the North, Governor Philip Huff of Vermont. Many political experts believe that for the first time in modern history, Alabama will go Republican and Vermont will go Democratic in the presidential election. Members of our panel of reporters today are Herbert Kaplow of NBC News, Roland Evans of the New York Herald Tribune, May Craig of the Portland Maine Press Herald, and James Kilpatrick of the Richmond News Leader. Ned Brooks will be back with us next week. Our time today will be equally divided between our two guests, and we'll interview Governor Wallace first. Governor Wallace was a candidate in a number of presidential primaries this year, but withdrew after Senator Goldwater won the Republican nomination. We'll have the first question now from Mr. Kaplow.
Governor, are you prepared yet to make a presidential endorsement?
No, I'm not prepared at this time to make an endorsement, Mr. Kaplow, and I'd be glad to tell you why.
Well, why?
Because I realize that the national news media has in many instances distorted the attitude of the people of my state and of the governor of Alabama, and I'm sure that if I endorse someone here today, whoever it was, that would be used in the next few days to literally smear that candidate to death. And therefore, I realize that there are many good people in this country who do not understand yet, because of the national news media, exactly what we think, exactly what we are after, and exactly what we stand for. And therefore, I don't think that it would be fair to saddle any of my liabilities upon any candidate.
Well, Governor, in the past several months, you have spent much of your time talking on two main subjects, the Civil Rights Bill, and related to that, the question of constitutional states' rights and excessive federal government.
That is correct.
On these two issues, which of the two main presidential candidates do you feel has the more preferable attitude?
I'm sure that the people of this country are beginning to realize, as I said a moment ago, maybe more so than they have in the past, that actually what we are talking about in Alabama and what the governor of Alabama has been talking about has been philosophy of government. And I'm sure that the people of this country themselves can determine
Which of the two men, President Johnson and Senator Goldwater, do you feel is more in line with what you think?
I'm sure the people themselves can listen to the candidates and decide for themselves. It's not that I mind from the standpoint of what might happen to me by saying who I would like to see the president. But I am not going to, at this moment, allow my liabilities to be saddled upon any candidate in the country. I can see screaming headlines tomorrow if I did endorse someone. Bigoted governor endorses so-and-so. And I'm perfectly conscious of that fact. But I think the people themselves ought to listen to the candidates, and I'm sure they will. But I shall continue my efforts in the matter of principles and philosophy, the matter of over-centralization of government, which I think is dangerous, the matter of the infringement upon the private rights of individuals, and also the matter of the attack upon the property system in our country and the free enterprise system.
Mr. Evans.
Governor, if Senator Goldwater wins your state, won't you be held accountable for having built up the Republican Party into a powerful political force in your state? Won't you even be risking your own political future if Jim Martin wins his seat for Congress?
What happens to my political future is of no consequence at all. I'm one individual, but what happens to this country is of much significance. And, of course, whether I'll be held accountable of what happens, I've been held accountable for many things that I had nothing to do with, and I cannot speculate as to what I'll be held accountable for.
Governor, do you mean by that it would be healthy for your state if Senator Goldwater did win in Alabama?
I think it'll be healthy for my state, for the people of that state, to vote for whom they please. And I think that they are well qualified to determine what candidate they want to vote for. And I don't really think that any of the people of our country need any recommendations from those like myself in political office, because they are as informed and as intelligent as the politicians. In many instances, they are more so.
Mrs. Craig.
Governor, you said in a magazine interview that you never call anybody inferior because of race.
That's correct.
And why do you want to segregate Negroes?
Well, of course, I have been for a policy in our schools in Alabama, as the people of that state desire. It's been historically the right of Alabama and the other states of the Union to determine the policy of their schools. and I think it is still historically there, right? And I care nothing about what sort of school system you have in Oregon, Virginia, California. I only say that the people of my state should determine that policy. If they desire to have an integrated school system, that's their right. If they desire to have a segregated school system, I think that is their right. So
well,
I don't recommend...
I've always wondered how you... What degree, what percentage of Negro blood warrants segregation? How do you measure it?
Well, let me say this. I don't intend to get into any argument or discussion about... the bloodline of anyone, only to say that insofar as I am concerned, the people of your state can have any type of school system they desire. I do not recommend to the people of your state because they are intelligent. But the people of Alabama are just as intelligent as the people from your state or any other state, and they themselves, I'm sure, can determine what is in the best interest of their children. Now, if you want to talk about neighborhood schools and so forth, I'd be glad to discuss it. But I do think that the matter of segregation in the public school system is a matter for the people of mine and your state to determine.
Mr. Kilpatrick.
Governor, pursuing that point, how long do you believe it will be before the schools of Alabama generally are desegregated?
Well, I don't know. From what I read in the paper, the schools of Illinois are not desegregated, nor of New York, and they've been trying 100 years, so if they are not desegregated in New York and Ohio and Illinois, because that is the very issue involved today in the school crisis in New York and other states of the Union, is we are not desegregated.
Yes, sir, but so, I ask you as governor of Alabama about Alabama schools.
I don't think there'll ever be in my lifetime any desegregation to the extent that the liberals are talking about. We have token integration in Alabama as a result of the federal courts, who themselves have arrogated unto themselves a right to determine the policy of schools in our state. People now on the federal court system run our country. They've even taken over the Congress. They've taken over my state. No governor in the country has any authority anymore. One federal judge appointed for life runs the schools and runs government in my state. Reapportion the legislature, decides what district congressman can run from. But I don't think in my lifetime or your lifetime we're going to have any total desegregation in any state in the Union.
Governor, I'd like to ask you a question. If the election were held today, do you think your state would go Republican or Democrat?
Let me say that in my judgment, the Republican candidate for the presidency has more support in my state than any Republican candidate for president has had in my lifetime.
Well, that doesn't answer my question. Would he go would the state go Republican or Democratic in your judgment?
There's a very good chance that the state will go Republican. But there again, I'm not like the pollsters. There are no experts in this field, and those people who can foretell an election result are out of their heads. In fact, I cannot foretell what the people will do, nor can the pollsters. The election is going to be decided on November the 3rd and not before.
Mr. Kaplow.
Governor, there is a pretty distinct possibility that several hundred of the top personnel of the Federal Space Center in Huntsville, Alabama, will be moved to a plant near New Orleans. And the reason given by the head of the space agency, Mr. Webb, is that it's difficult getting highly skilled people, scientists and engineers, to go working in Alabama. And a week or so ago, he said, James Webb said, Alabama would have to improve its attitude toward the federal government or the space installation at Huntsville would be in jeopardy.
Well, let me say this to you. In the first place, they haven't had much trouble in getting the top people in the world there. Dr. Von Braun and others are there, the finest space team in the whole world. And if you'll notice, Mr. Webb did say that once we get them there, they like to stay.
Oh, he didn't. He said they're hard to keep there.
No, he made a statement further in Florence, Alabama, that it was hard to get them there, which, of course, I question that. That's highly debatable. But there has been billions of dollars spent in the Space Center there in Huntsville, Alabama. And I understand from the press reports today, although I haven't seen them, that Mr. Hale Bogg in Louisiana had made this proposal. But you know the Michaud plan, or however you pronounce it, is connected with NASA in Huntsville. And there is an interchange of scientists from both groups. But if there was an attempt to move Huntsville completely... I talked to some top educators yesterday who said it would put the space effort behind 15 years. I don't believe that any president would play politics with a national defense. And if there was any attempt to move the Redstone Arsenal, or Huntsville, or NASA, in its entirety, in my judgment, we would be 15 years behind, the Russians more so, as a result of that move. I don't believe that any president is going to move this matter for political reasons. And Mr. Hale Boggs of Louisiana, I understand, who's in some trouble in his district, I think is holding out some false hopes to his people in Louisiana.
Gentlemen, we have less than 3 minutes. Governor, Mr. Evans.
Governor, you said a moment ago people in Alabama are often more intelligent than the politicians. Why did you campaign so hard then for the independent, unpledged slate of electors in the May primary? Why did you put your reputation on the line for that slate over the regular Johnson slate?
Because in Alabama we elect our electors, and there was some philosophy involved, and I did campaign for those electors.
Is there no philosophy involved?
Those electors were elected in my state, and of course, by a 6-1 vote.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Craig.
But you've deserted
them. Please, Mrs. Craig.
You have said that Chief Justice Warren was not qualified when appointed and is not now. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think that when you put people on the Supreme Court of the United States, they ought to have judicial experience. I think his was a political appointment in its entirety, and I don't think he is qualified to sit on the Supreme Court as a Chief Justice of the United States.
Mr. Kilpatrick.
The stand in front of you says Governor Wallace, Democrat, Alabama. What allegiance as a Democrat do you owe the National Democratic candidate?
I owe allegiance only to those that my heart and soul tells me I ought to owe allegiance to, and I owe allegiance to the Alabama Democratic Party and to no other.
Governor, is there any chance that you may leave the Democratic Party the way Senator Thurmond did and join the Republican Party?
I'm an Alabama Democrat, and I have no intention at the moment of leaving the Alabama Democratic Party. I would like to comment on Mr. Webb said that the people's attitude were not right in Alabama. Well, I hate to see the day come when people in Washington might determine and say your attitude must change to conform with ours. I think to me that that's something that's very significant.
Very short, Mr. Evans.
Governor, it seems to me, though, in this electors business that you're not being consistent because you refuse to say now which slate should be elected.
I'm very
but
consistent.
But you did campaign for the independent slate of the
May
primary.
I'm very consistent because I'm taking the position that I want to take. I took the position I wanted to take then.
It was different.
I take the position I want to take now, and I consider that to be very consistent.
Sorry to interrupt, but the time for our first interview is up. Thank you, Governor Wallace. You've just heard our panel question Governor George Wallace of Alabama. Our second guest is Governor Philip Huff of Vermont, the first Democrat to be elected governor of Vermont in 109 years. We'll have the first question now from Mr. Kaplow.
Governor, the reports have it that in your bid for re-election, you have a pretty tough fight ahead at the same time that President Johnson seems to be doing pretty well in Vermont. How do you reconcile these two?
Well, let's talk about the presidential thing for a minute just first. I think there's a basic misconception about Vermont among people outside the state of Vermont. It has a reputation of being a very conservative state, and it's not. Basically, it's a state of moderation, although largely through historical accident, it's voted for one party for a rather extended period of time. In my case, I hope I'm doing well on the basis of my record, but I'm not here predicting victory for me, although I do think that President Johnson is doing very well indeed.
Well, now, what about yourself? How are you tied to him, or are you?
Well, I suppose perhaps we're in many ways the same type of person. I do think that I've gotten around the state a great deal. It's a small state, so the people have come to know me on a personal basis. I think there's some difference between myself and the president in this respect. He's running against a candidate that I think people in Vermont think is quite conservative, whereas I think my opponent is considered conservative, but not to the degree Mr. Goldwater is.
Governor Huff.
Mr. Evans.
Governor Huff, how do you account for President Johnson's apparent lead, tremendous lead, according to the polls? Is it mainly a deep concern that voters have or seem to have for Senator Goldwater, or is it love and affection for President Johnson?
Well, I'd say it was a combination of both, although I do think the weight is on the concern over Senator Goldwater in Vermont as I think it is all over the East. However, President Johnson was in Vermont when he was vice president. He made quite a hit there. He appeals to Vermonters and has for an extended period of time.
How significant is the memory of John Kennedy in the election in Vermont, the campaign in Vermont this fall?
Well, among Democrats, quite significant.
You think this is helping President Johnson conspicuously, or?
Quite, yes, I would say so among the Democratic voters, very much so.
Mrs. Craig.
Governor, the New England sea captains made fortunes bringing the Africans back and selling them as slaves to the South. You don't have many in Vermont. Do you have a problem with the civil rights law?
No, not really. Of course, we had legislation that preceded the civil rights law and is a good deal stronger, as a matter of fact, and I had the pleasure of introducing that and having it passed during this administration. We had some previous legislation in terms of public accommodations that also preceded anything on a federal basis. No, we don't have a seacoast in Vermont, so that we haven't had the problem with slavery, although I did win the state of Massachusetts from Governor Peabody in a golf game last year.
The problem with the Southerners, of course, is that many places they have so many. Why do not the other states offer homes and jobs to Negroes to come north so that they will not be herded off into harlems?
Well, I think I could safely say this, that we certainly don't stand in Vermont and say we do not welcome Negroes. We like to think that we treat them on an equal basis. The problem of providing employment for them, of course, is precisely that of providing employment for our own people. But I want to make it abundantly clear here now that we do not in any way say that Negroes can't come to our state. They are welcome at any time.
Mr. Kilpatrick.
Less than 1% of your population, however, is Negro. Wouldn't you say, Governor, that it's pretty easy to be virtuous about civil rights when less than 1% of your population is Negro?
Perhaps so, but I would remind you that the heart of Vermont went out in the Civil War, and we've been suffering from those losses even to this date, so that I don't see that anybody can say that we don't have a concern in this whole question.
Yes, sir. Let me return to politics, if I may. When you were introducing Vice Presidential candidate Humphrey the other day, you said that you didn't believe Vermonters could swallow Goldwater, and you said, and his extreme views. Which particular views did you have in mind there?
Well, I can cite a couple, if I may. I would say his views on the United Nations, and I understand that these are in great conflict, but he has said on many occasions that he would just as soon get the United States out of the United Nations. He questions its ability to handle the problems of the world today. I think that would be considered extreme in Vermont.
This is very important in Vermont, the question of the United Nations.
Absolutely. Vermont is very much oriented towards Europe, as is all New England.
Governor, I'd like to ask you a question. The only reason you won your election in 1962 was because of the support of the Vermont Independent Party. Now, as I understand it, you've lost that support this year. How serious is that going to be towards your reelection?
I wish I knew, Mr. Spivak. It could be a very significant factor, although I do think at this point people have come to know me a good deal better so that they don't need an independent label to vote for me.
Why did you lose the support of the Independent Party this time?
You know, I really don't know the answer to that question, and I don't. Perhaps someday it will be explained to me, but I really don't know.
Mr. Kaplow.
What sort of reaction have you been able to discern among Vermonters as to the morality corruption issue which is being stressed by the Goldwater forces?
You see it. It's evident. It's reflected in some of our electorate. I have many Republican friends. And, of course, their view of it is that they are basically anti-Goldwater, but they have some question about President Johnson. So it's reflected all right, although I don't think in a large degree.
Well, what do they say?
Well, they say, gee, I can't vote for Senator Goldwater, but I have a little difficulty in bringing myself to vote for President Johnson. A Weekly reflected that this week in their editorial policy. They stated this in essence.
And they mentioned this element of corruption as the reason?
I better be careful about that in terms of this paper.
I mean, do you think that issue is making headway for the Republicans in the state of Vermont?
I can't believe that this issue makes much headway unless somebody can categorically prove it among many voters. No, I do not.
Mr. Evans.
Governor, I understand that you have the best political organization in Vermont that the Democratic Party has ever had. You have county chairmen now in counties covering 90% of the population of the state. How will the Vermont political profile change, and in a broader sense, all of New England, if President Johnson carries that whole area this fall?
Well, that's a little difficult to predict. I do think, however, that if he should win, that we would have firmly established in Vermont an effective two-party system, so that I think it will change the profile of Vermont a great deal. I have no idea how it would change the other New England states.
Actually, Vermont has never voted Republican. Democrat has a Democratic in a presidential election.
Not since the formation of the Republican Party, and how far back it goes beyond that, I don't know.
Do you call yourself a Johnson Democrat, a Kennedy Democrat, a conservative Democrat, or what kind of a Democrat?
Well, I would consider myself more of a liberal Democrat with rather conservative views in terms of money.
Mrs. Craig.
Governor, where do you stand on Medicare?
Well, basically, I think I'm for it, although sometimes I become a little concerned over the financing of it. But basically, I think this is a need that's got to be met in one way or the other. I don't think we have to accept the present method of being the only answer. But in terms of the philosophy behind it, I'm for it.
Well, Governor, don't you think you're precipitating a sort of a fraud on the people, because we haven't got the doctors, nurses, or hospitals? If you got Medicare tomorrow, you couldn't give them what you promised.
Well, this is always an objection to this kind of a program, I might add. You don't do something for fear of consequences. I say we should have more faith in ourselves than that. If we have this problem, then we'll just simply have to institute a crash program to get them. But this is no reason, I don't believe, for being opposed to a program of this nature.
Mr. Kilpatrick.
Governor, a recent study showed that Vermont received only $19 million last year in prime contracts for defense and NASA, less than any other state in the Union. Can you account for this, sir?
Well, yes, in a way. First of all, we don't have a great many defense industries in Vermont. I think we'll do better in the future, all right, but basically it comes down to this. Secondly, we've had a great deal of difficulty in getting some of our smaller businessmen to bid on smaller contracts. They've been reluctant to do so. We've been working hard on that. We're making some progress, but I think this is a second reason. Three, we've had a decrease in, at least in Burlington General Electric, in terms of contracts available to them, and they're coming back. I think we'll do better.
As a related question, sir, as a governor, what do you think of the impact of federal spending generally upon political, economic activities within your state government? What effect does this federal spending have upon Vermont's ability to look after its own affairs?
Oh, I think it's tremendously important. Also, the various federal aids that we get through other programs. I don't see how you could separate a state from them.
We have about 3 minutes. Mr. Evans.
Governor, in answer to Mr. Kaplow, you said that the corruption issue is causing some conversation, some consternation in Vermont. Now, if President Johnson wins, do you feel that this will be held against him when he starts off his first full term?
No.
Will this be one strike on the administration?
No. I must say that I think recent campaigns particularly have gotten terribly emotional, and I think this type of thing plays a very big part in that emotional response to campaigns. Most people, I think, are going to be terribly relieved when this campaign is over, and I think they'll put this behind them. I certainly hope so.
You don't think it's affected the president's standing with the people?
Well, you always worry about this, but in the end, I think that when the election is over, the American people will pull themselves together and put it behind them. I really do.
Short one, Mrs. Craig?
Yes. You have spoken of New England being have-not. Will it go Democratic for Johnson because he will give projects and Goldwater won't?
No.
Explain that.
Surely. I don't think Mr. Johnson has promised anything to Vermont or to New England. I think, on the other hand, he has said, we are one nation, we are not divided, and united we shall march forward. I think Mr. Goldwater's approach has been somewhat different than that. I think this is basically the fear of Vermont people.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but our time is up. Thank you, Governor Huff and Governor Wallace, for being with us.